Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Sanhedrin Kuf Yud Aleph. We begin right on top, Lochein. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Lochein Hirchiva, Sho'el Navsho, Ofara Pia. So Sho'el is Gehenim, opened its mouth wide. For whom? Levli Chayk. Amr Shlakish. Who's that? Lemisha Meshayer Afilu Chayk Echad. If one omits, even, you know, keeping one mitzvah, then that person will have to experience Gehenim. Amr B'Yechanan Lo Nicha L'Marayu Damus Lohachi. Marayu is their master, a reference to Hashem. Hashem is displeased by what you're saying. Lo Nicha L'Marayu Damus Lohachi, that you're saying, you're issuing a very strict and, you know, stern prescription here. Leaving out just one thing earns Gehenim. Ella, just the opposite, says Rabbi Yechanan. Levli Chayk means if one ignores everything, disregards the entire Torah. But a person who learns Afilu Leilamad El Afilu Leilamad El Chayk Echad, even if one just did one thing right, he's spared the Sha'ol experience. Now the interesting shot from Teras Chaim. He says, well, what's the machlekes about? Rish Lakish says, even, you know, one thing earns Gehenim, Rabbi Yechon goes the other way. He says, every person has a certain amount of Eivorim, 248 corresponding to the 248 mitzvahs asay, etc., etc. And he says, by keeping a mitzvah, by refraining from doing an Aveira, what happens? By doing so, one purifies that particular element within his guf. And therefore, says Rish Lakish, by leaving even one part of a person's entity untreated, that's a problem. Whereas Rabbi Yechon says just the opposite. He says, as long as there's something within a person that has risen to that higher level of purity, that had been processed properly, it can drag along everything along with it, and he spared hardship. A similar machaikas we have between the same Manda Amram, Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, is based on a pasuk in Zechariah. V'haya b'chala oretz num Hashem pishnayim ba. This is speaking about days to come, the Mesa Mashiach, how many will survive from the entire, you know, world. V'haya b'chala oretz, in the entire oretz, num Hashem, Hashem is speaking, pishnayim ba yikarsu, yigvo, two-thirds will be obliterated, v'ashlishis, the shlishis, a third, yivaser ba, will survive. Two ways to learn. Rish Lakish learns like this. Am Rish Lakish shlishi shel shem. When we speak about a third, it's not a third of the entire population, the world population. Rather, it's much less. It's a third of shem. Now, shem had three children. So if you take a third of Noyach, which is shem, and you take a third of shem, Rashi, according to Rashi, it's referring to his third child, Arpachshad, and even his descendants, only a third of them will survive. And we know that Klal Yisrael came from Arpachshad because ultimately he had Avram. So if you split his descendants into three, and only a third of those will survive, that leaves us with very few survivors. So even within our nation, there'll only be a few survivors. Right? It won't be in the entire Klal Yisrael, because it's only going to be a third of a total of Arpachshad's descendants. And Rashi says perhaps, you know, currently Klal Yisrael encompasses more than a third of his descendants. So he'll have to sort of shrink it to get to that number. So according to Rish Lakish, the ones who will merit the ultimate redemption are going to be less than you would think. Amar the Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yechon responds, no. Again, with that same phrase, Lo Nicha Lemorayu, Damas Lo Hachi, Hashem is not pleased with what you're saying, that Klal Yisrael will shrink. Ella, he says the correct approach is you work with a different method of calculation, which ends up giving us a much greater representation. Ella afilu shlishi shel noyach. Shlishis means a third of noyach. So basically a third of the world population. And Rashi explains. So let's say Klal Yisrael doesn't really amount to a third of the world population. Well, you have Gerim and you have Chassidi Umas HaOlam. In any case, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you end up with much more survivors than Rish Lakish. Third Machlekes, and a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Hashem speaks and says, Ki Anochi Ba'alti B'chem, I'm like your husband. I'm going to ensure that you come back, that you return to me. V'lekachti Eschem, Echad Me'ir, Ushnaim Mimishpacha. One survivor from the entire city, two from the entire family, will be redeemed. Amr Rish Lakish, literally, Devarim Kiksavim. Amr L'Rav Yechon, no. Again, Lo Nicha Leila Morayu, the Amr Sluhach, Hashem is displeased by this type of interpretation. Ella, rather, let's flip it around in a positive sense. Echad Meir, one righteous person found in the entire city. Because of him, the entire city will be redeemed. Mezakeh kol ha'ir kula, protects the entire city and merits them with the ultimate redemption. Ushnaim mimishpacha. You have two chassidim, two tzaddikim within the entire family. That saves the day. Mezakeh nes kol ha'mishpacha kula. Yosef Rav Kahana kamed Rav. Rav Kahana was sitting before Rav, Yosef Ka'amar. And he was learning this pasuk like Rish Lakish, literally. Dvarim k'ksav, and he meant to, you know, learn the words as they're written. Very, very few survivors. Amale Rav, he held like Rav Yechanan. Lo nichale lemarayu. Hashem is not happy with this type of da'amas luhachi that you relate to Klal Yisrael this way. There'll be many more survivors. Ella, the correct approach is like Rav Yechanan. Echad meir mezake kalair. Shnayim mimishpacha, they are mezakan the entire kol mishpacha. Chazi, Rabbi Kachai Frish. Here comes another incident between Rav and Rav Kahana. Rav noticed that Rav Kahana was washing his hair, slick v'yisev kami. Rav then came to learn, and Rashi's mashma that he was doing it while he should have been learning. He was taking off time to tend to his grooming. Amar le, so Rav was displeased. Lo'simotzi beretz achayim. That's what he told him. L'simotzi beretz achayim, which almost sounds like he was giving him a kalala. You're not going to be present. Elam habo, beretz achayim. Omalei, Rav Kahana turned to Rav, Meilat kulat yisli. You're giving me a kalala? Then I'm going to forfeit my elam habo? Omalei says, no, no, no. I wasn't saying it so far. I was just giving you a little reproof. Kro ka'amina. I was just sort of relating to a pasuk. A pasuk in Iyov. The pasuk says, "Va'chachma," right? We're talking about Torah. Ma'ayin timotze, it comes from Hashem, and then it says, "Lo simotze be'eretz achayim." It's not you or Elam Haba. We're talking about the Torah. Lo timotze. Torah is not present. It's not found. Be'eretz achayim. What does that mean? Lo simotze Torah. You have to sacrifice for Torah. You have to be moser nefesh for Torah. You can't be preoccupied with your own pleasures and pursuits, then Torah won't stick to you. You can't absorb the Torah unless you are fully committed and give it all up for Torah. Well, you see, Matzei Torah, where do you find Torah? Who absorbs the Torah? Who experiences the Torah? Who has that slach on Torah? B'misha mechai, atzmele, a person who enlivens himself, preoccupied with his own desires, that's a problem. So basically, you should have done it in a way that doesn't interfere with Torah. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Sima Yomer. Nemar, we have a pasuk by Yitzias Mitzrayim. Lekachti eschem lilam. But Nemar, we have a similar expression. Veveisi eschem. I will bring you into Eretz Yisrael, right? Lekachti veveisi, right? So we make a connection. Makish Yitzasan Mitzrayim, biyasan la'aretz. We connect the exit of Mitzrayim to the entry of Eretz Yisrael. Ma biyasan la'aretz shnayim. We all know that only two individual survive the journey through the desert. From the entire crowd of Shishim Ribi, only two people. Yeshua and Kalev. Af Yitzias Mitzrayim. The same exact phenomenon occurred when they left Mitzrayim. Shnayim Mishishim Ribu. Only two survived from the original 600,000, basically. Rashi explains it. Hashem only took out the tzaddikim. And the rest died. When did they die? During the dark days of Choshech. So that the Mitzrim, you know, don't experience the downfall of the Israelim. So in any case, it was a very small percentage of survivors. Two of 600,000. Amar Rav Mashiach. The same proportion will happen in Moshe Mashiach. Two out of 600,000 will survive. Shenamar va'ansa shama ki meinu ureo uchiyay ma'loisa meretz Mitzrayim. Ansa is lashon of inoy, distress. That will be a time of distress, a time of difficulty, right? Time of Mashiach. And that will be compared to Yetzias Mitzrayim, where only a small percentage will survive. I heard from Rav Shteyman, the Shlita in Eretz Yisrael, he said that the litmus test will be who's going to survive, who's going to be Zeuche, the ones who keep totally separate from the Goyim. In today's culture, you can see how difficult it is. We're living lives which are so intertwined and so interactive with the surrounding culture, especially with the advent of all the technological advances and the internet and all the connections that we have all the time. It's a click of a button, and we're totally exposed to whatever the Geisha culture has to offer, and it's very difficult to actually keep above the fray, keep higher standards. But that's going to be the test. In the olden days, it wasn't so difficult. You live in your shtetl, you didn't have that interaction. But today, he says the condition, the tenai, how do you get your entry card into Yom HaSem Mashiach? By staying a Yid. Staying a Yid and being separate, keeping that havdalah, that distinction between the Yisroel la'amim. Tanya, Omer Blazer Riesi, Pamachas Nachnasti. I once visited the city of Alexandria in Egypt. Alexandria Shemitzrayim. Matzasi Zaken Echad. I find this older man, this Egyptian, Bamarli, and he tells me, "Oh, good, you came. I want to show you something." Boy Varecha, I'll show you. Maybe he had some history book. Ma'osu, maybe that famous tablet, right, that they have in the British Museum describing the plagues and everything. Ma'osu, Avos Avesecha. Look, I want to show you what transpired, what my parents did to yours. Mehem Tibu Bayam. Some of your people were drowned. Mehem Horgu B'Chorav. Some of them they killed outright. Mehem Mo'achu B'Binyan. Some of them they used as bricks in the structures. When they ran out of raw material, they forced the Jews to put their babies in instead. Unbelievable. Because of this terrible tragedy, Moshe Rabbeinu actually ended up getting punished. What does that mean? Shenemar. Because initially when Moshe Rabbeinu was sent by Hashem, right, he went to tell off Paray, and it sort of generated a reaction which he wasn't expecting. A more strict reaction. He became more heavy-handed. More difficult decrees. Up until now, the Egyptians would provide the raw material for the building purposes, but going forward, you have to get your own. And if you didn't, they used to stick the babies in. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu comes back to Hashem and Shinam, and he says, it just got worse. Miyaz, Basiel Par, Odaver Bishmech. From that moment, when I came to Paray and spoke in your name, what did he do? He made it even worse. Hey, Rala Mazeh. Hashem responded, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chaval Alda Avdin. Hashem was displeased with this remark, and Hashem sort of told him off. Chaval Alda Avdin Lemishtachin. What a pity that we have we had the great people, years past, who are no longer. But I can't seem to find suitable replacements for those chacham, those tzaddikim. You're not on their level of total dedication, total emunah, blind faith in my actions. Harei kama pa'amim niglesi. Look, let me take you back to history. Many times I have revealed myself to Avraham, al Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, to the Avos, b'kel shakai, which is not the yudkei vavkei, the shem ha'mefayrosh, a different type of expression, different type of revelation, a more limited type of interaction. Yudkei vavkei represents Hashem keeping His promises, Hashem carrying out His good plan. Eternity, it's a shame of creation of eternity. Kel shakai, die, limited, related to restrictions, perhaps to difficulties. That's how they perceived me. It wasn't all clear. It wasn't all, you know, lights and flashes. They never questioned my doings. They didn't ask me for my name. Basically, what it means to say is they didn't expect more than that at that point. They went along with it, even though things were difficult. For example, Amarti Lavram. When I told Avram, Kumi Salach Boretz, Lor Kol Rachbo, Kilcha Tenena, I'm going to give Eretz Yisrael. Basically, it's your land. And then what happened when he tried to find a small plot of land for Sarah? He couldn't find it for less than a fortune. Pikesh Mokim Likbar Sarah. Well, he couldn't find a place for Sarah. At Shekana Ba'arba Meir Shekel Kas, had to pay a fortune. Did he question my doings? Well, he didn't even think twice. Amarte li Yitzchak Gur Baret Hazoy Svei Yim Chava Berchekah. Likewise, I promised Yitzchak the land. I couldn't even find some water without making a fight. Bikshu Avad of Maim Lushtes, the servants tried to find some water to drink. Well, Matsu At Shosam Riva. Ended up being a fight. Shenema Vayirivu Roy Gror, they had to battle the shepherds of Gror, and Roy Yitzchak, Lemuel and Amai, whose water is it? He wasn't disgruntled. He just went along with the flow. V'lehir achar midoisa. Likewise to Yaakov, Amati li Yaakov, Horet asher ato shechem eleo, l'cho etenena, he promised the land to Yaakov. And then when he needed to find a place just to put his tent down, he had a hard time. Bikesh mokem v'lintoya haloi. When he came and he tried to find a place for his tent, again, cost him a fortune. And he didn't question me. They didn't ask me for my name, right? So despite all the difficulties, now you're asking me, right? The first interaction was, what's your name? Which basically is a request for a more, you know, revealed type of, a more, a clear type of system. Furthermore, now that you're encountering difficulty, the nation has encountered difficulty, you're coming back and you're sort of complaining. The punishment will be, Ata sira asher eselafare. Ata means now. Currently, you'll experience. You'll see what I'm going to do with Pari. But only this. You will not be zeiche to complete the task to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. But Mechamas Pari Atayroi, you'll see the war with Pari, the Makis. V'yatayroi b'mechamas Shloishim Echad Malachim, but not the war involving 31 kings of Eretz Yisrael. Basically, you're not going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, only your Talmud, Yeshua Benun. We have a pasuk where Hashem recites, so to speak, calls out the 13 Midoy Shel Rachmim, attributes of compassion of Hashem, and Moshe's response is, he quickly bowed down. He lay down on the floor. What was this about? What did he see? What was he trying to do? Marah Moshe, which one of those midos triggered this response? We have two pshatim. Rav Chanina Mgamla Amar Erech HaPayim Ra. One of the 13 midos is Erech HaPayim. Hashem expresses unlimited patience. So, he was pleased with that, because that will ensure that we get, ultimately we get Hashem's kind, brachos. That's all due to Erech HaPayim. When Hashem is patient, Hashem allows us to run the course, to teshuva. So that's a good thing. So he bowed as an expression of simcha, of of satisfaction, happiness. Rabbanon Amri, they learned Emes Ra. He bowed when he heard Emes, truth, justice. And he bowed out of pachad, out of fear. How are we going to survive if the world is run, you know, with absolute justice, without, you know, rachmanas, right? So basically, bow to Hashem as a lashon of an expression of tefillah, of bakash, Hashem, please, please. If it's going to be just absolute emes, we have no chance to survive. Tani kmanda omer erach apayim ro. We have the raya to the first pshat, the sanya. We have a brayso. Kshalom Moshe lamar. When Moshe came up to Shemayim, mitzoy lakodesh baruch hu sheyoshev bekosef erach apayim. He noticed that Hashem is writing the Torah erach apayim. Omer lafanov. Hashem was recording this midah. So he turns to Hashem, Ribbono Shelolam, Erech Apayim LaTzadikim. Is this meant only for Tzadikim? Right? Amar lo, no, after Rishayim, even Rishayim can be Zeichet Erech Apayim from Hashem. Amar lo, so he turns to Hashem, no, Rishayim Yavedu, let the Rishayim get lost. Why do I need Erech Apayim? Amar lo, so Hashem told him, Hashtachaz es madim ebaylach. You're going to see. You're gonna need this Erech Apayim later on. When? Kshechot Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael did the chet of the Meraglim, and Moshe Rabbeinu petitioned Hashem for Mechila, Amar Loi, Hashem responds, whoa, look at Hamartli, haven't you told me way back Erech Apayim only let Tzadikim? Allow the Rishayim to just, you know, be banished? Amar Lefanav, so Moshe responded, oh, but you told me that it's also for Rishayim. Rabbanu Shalom, like a chamartali after Rishayim. Well, you told me it's going to be applied to Rishayim as well. And that saved the day. And that's what the pasuk means over there. Va'ata yigdal nokoich Hashem. Kasher, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Hashem and referring to something that Hashem himself said in the past. Kasher debarta lema. Which is kasher debarta? What's that referring to? That's the Erech Apayim that Hashem promises will be applied even to Rishayim. So, Erech Apayim is a good thing that is useful for all. Even Rishayim could cash into it. And that explains why when Moshe Rabbeinu heard Erech Apayim, he was pleased, he was happy. That will be used for the benefit of all of us in Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Chaga, what happened to him? Hava Solik Vasil, he was climbing up the steps, Bedarga, and the yeshiva of the Bei Rabba Bar Shila. Shamel Yinuki heard this child, overheard the child learning. The Amar, he was saying a pasuk in Tehillim, Eidei Secha Nemna Moed. Your promises, Hashem will be eternal, will actually be carried out. Leveis Chanam HaKadosh, Hashem Lo'erech Yom, because of Hashem's patience. Hashem has time, so to speak, he waits it out until he actually sees it appropriate to actually give us, you know, what we deserve, the blessings and the yischar, when we deserve it. V'samach Lei. And nearby in the Tehillim, we have Tefillah L'Moshe. So we learn that this pasuk, Yisrach HaNem Nemoed, was also said by Moshe Rabbeinu in reference to our discussion. Amar, Shabbi Chaga deduced from here, Shema Minu Erech Apayim Ro, as a right from this, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he bowed and he right expressed that it was in response to Erech Apayim, this midah of Hashem Lo Erech Yamim, Hashem waits it out. Hashem ultimately keeps his word. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that by Har Sinai, and he expressed it here in Tehillim as well. So he's learning that the experience involved Erech Apayim, which was something very positive and beneficial to all. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Liyos Ator, in the future Hashem will present himself like a crown. Beroish kol tzadik v'tzadik, on the heads of the tzadikim. Shenemar ba'imahu, hi Hashem tzvokos, lateres, like a crown, tzvi, ulitzviras tifora, l'shaur amir. Now who will earn this tremendous honor? Mai lateres tzvi, ulitzviras tifora, answers the Gemara, tzvi means rotzain, to ones who aspire Hashem's closeness. Tzviras, ones who anticipate, who look forward to his redemption. Does that apply to even people that are haughty and arrogant? They're tzaddikim, but they have tamalim. No, l'shar amay. What does l'shar amay mean? Only those in our nation who are humble, or sha'ar, l'mishem esim asma kisharayim. A person treats himself like leftovers, like, you know, Shabbos leftovers. A person is truly humble. In conjunction with aspiring to do Hashem's will, in conjunction with having Tzipir Yeshua. You know, it's interesting. It doesn't speak so much about his greatness in terms of, you know, immersion and Torah, no. Ratzon Hashem. You know, Rabbi Avigdor Miller has a beautiful piece. He quotes from he doesn't say who it is, a great man in pre-war Slabodka. He said he heard him speak in the yeshiva, or in the town of Slabodka. This is basically in response. He has a question and answer section in the back of the Sefer, so somebody asked him, any hope? Look what's going on today. We're so devoid, we're so spiritually empty. Any hope for our generation? Says Rabbi Avigdor Miller, of course, 100%. And he quotes this whole speech. He says, he heard the speaker, a great man who presented as follows. He says, Rabbi Issa, you think, you know, in Europe, we're so much better than in America. America, kashrus, Shabbos, it's just the opposite. Because unfortunately, this was before the war, spiritual life in Europe was on the down, rolling down a hill, in decline. Whereas in America, he says, it's going uphill. Direction is upwards. They're increasing. It's a slow process, right? But they're increasing. They're improving. They're looking to grow. They're sincere. They're facing upwards. So perhaps today we're higher than them, but ultimately, if they go up and we go down, he said, that's the main thing. So Rabbi Miller writes a whole piece. He says it's about direction. Hashem doesn't necessarily look at, you know, where you are now. I'm here, I'm there. He looks at where he knows is pointing. where are you headed? Which direction are you aspiring to get? Are you trying for Hashem? Ratzon, where's your Ratzon? Today, especially with all the, you know, wonderful curative efforts going on, and it's just, you know, Torah is increasing and spreading and growing, and that's the key to right, that's the key to Hatzlacha, that's the key to getting bracha from Hashem and experiencing Hashem's Yeshua Bekarev. We have a pasuk in Yeshaya again. Ulurach mishpat liyoshev ala mishpat v'legvura b'shivim l'chamesh sha'ara. Explains the Gemara. And this is an extension to the previous piece where Hashem will present us a crown and give us success. And Ulurach mishpat is specific to a person who controls his spirit, controls his desire. Zeh haroide es yisrael. Whoever becomes his yitzhar, does the tshuva, returns to Hashem. Ul yeshev al hamishpat, that's a judge, a dayan, who conducts his court with integrity and honesty. Zeh hadon, dinem es lamite. V'legvura, what does that mean? So one level is to overcome the yitzhar. Here, we take it a step further. He feels something pulling him the wrong way, he pulls out a gemara. So he extinguishes, so to speak, the fire of the Yitzhar with the beauty of Torah. Zamizgaber b'yitzri. Rashi explains, not only is he suppressing the Yitzhar, but he's actually going a step further and doing a mitzvah to counteract, to absorb the energy that he has into Kedusha. Mishiv el-Mochama, who's that? Those who are fully involved in Torah, debating the words of Torah. Zashanoy sevenesin b'mocham teshotar. What does sha'ara mean? Those who come to shul on time. Elu shemash kimin amariven. They get up in the morning early to come to shul. They stay late at night. About the knesias, about the midrashes. And some learn the word sha'ara means it's like a doorman. First in and last out. So these people are zoich amra. Midas hadin lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the midas hadin comes and complains to Hashem. Ribbono shel olam, manishtanu elu me'elu. Why are you only rewarding these people more than other people who don't have these positive attributes? Amar Allah, Hashem responds, these are critical for success. Otherwise, you get swept into the flow of things. V'gam eila b'yayin shogu, they get swept up in drinking. U'b'sheicharto, poka palilya. Vein puka la gehenem, puka means gehenem, right? Person allows himself to slip into desires, etc. You could end up anywhere. Shenema v'leisi azoyis l'chalafuka, so you see fuka is gehenim. Vein plila l'dayonin, the pasuk mentions plila. These are the dayonin, the judges, who are acting unjustly. Shenema v'nasim b'plilim, we have the pasuk, plilim is a reference to justice and payment. So basically the point is that those who act with integrity, those who are committed to good, those who look to overcome and aspire to be close to Hashem, those will get the ultimate reward, Olam Haba. Now we shift back to Halacha. Anshiyar Nidachas. So we had this a little while ago. The people from the Yer Nidachas, they were swept into Avodah Zarah, they were misled by some individuals to go and serve idols, to go and worship Avodah Zarah. Anshiyar Nidachas, Eilem Chelklan Haba. And some learn, it's a reference to the instigators only. Shenemar Yotsu, Anoshim Bnei Beliyah, was speaking about those who instigated the crowd. So these people were Machti and Sarabim. Very unlikely that they did Teshuvah. Thus, they forfeited Olam Haba. Yotsu Anoshim Bnei Beliyah. Mikibecho. Vayadichu. Es Yoshvei Iram. So these evil people came out from amongst you. So they're landsmen, they're people from this town. They came, they turned around, and they got everybody to do Avodah Zarah. Ve'einu neherogot. Now there are many conditions. In fact, the Gemara, we learned it a couple of weeks ago. The Gemara says it's according to some sheet, it's impossible even. It's such an impractical type of process that it should ever come about. There's so many details, so many criteria, so many conditions that have to be met, as we're going to see some of them now. Ve'einu neherogim. The only way that we kill them, meaning, we have to know before we begin, there are two systems to Avodah Zarah. An individual, if he serves an idol, he gets sekila, right? That's it, his possessions are not affected. But in the Yer Nidachas system, if the entire, or most of the city, gets swept into Avodah Zarah, so then we treat it like Yer Nidachas, which is a totally different system of punishment. Instead of skila, they get saif, death by sword. And their possessions are also destroyed, burnt within the city. In order to get to that point, when do we kill the people of Yer Nidachas using this system? Following conditions must be met. Number one, the madichim, those who instigated, those who misled the crowd, came from this city, their local residents. Umoisiyah Shevet, from the same Shevet as the rest of the people. Va'ach Yudach Rubish Ruba. At least most of the city had to go along with it. Otherwise, it doesn't. Va'al Shiyadichu Anoshim, provided the Madichim were men. But Hidichu Anoshim Uktanim. However, if the instigators were women or minors, Oishudach Miyut, only a small percentage, a minority of the city was convinced. Or Hidichu Oishahaya. Or the people who did it, who instigated, came from out of town. We go back to the standard system of punishment. They're treated like individuals who did Avodah Zarah, and then we give them skila. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, it's not an automatic system, it's not a wholesale job. Even if the entire city got swept along, did Avodah Zarah, and are labeled Yer Nidachas, we require for every person who sinned, two witnesses who can testify that in fact it happened, and they warn them, they pre-warn them. Look, kolechad ve'echad for every individual. So if we compare the Yer HaNidach, this sort of collective punishment system with the individual punishment system, we have the following equation. Zech choymer mi bi'echidim mi b'merubim. In a way, an individual sin and got punished with skila is more severe than the collective punishment applied to the crowd, because it's a different punishment. It's a more severe punishment. Shayachidim, they get skila by skila. Lefichach mamayim palit. Interesting. That's why there's a caveat. There's a downside to, an upside to, that their money, their possessions, are spared. So the person gets punished severely, but his possessions are spared and go to his family. Vamarubin, but the collective punishment applied to the crowd, the Yer Nidachas, besayif. They get a lesser punishment, saif. Lefichach, but at the same time, that's why their possessions are to be obliterated. So it's like an equation. A worse punishment, but possession spared. A lesser punishment, but everything gets included. Pasuk says, Hake take es yeshve ir. Hazay is the vicharev. Now let's say we have some visitors. Do they count? Are they included in the population count in terms of determining whether, you know, if many people sinned? But we're not sure, it's at the 50% mark. And if we include the chameras and gamelos, these are groups of travelers, business people, donkey travelers and camel, you know, riders, hayveras, mimakam, traveling to town. They're not locals. So can we count, can we include them in the count to determine that roiv sinned? No. Hara'elu matzilan oisa. They saved the town. The Farshim explain. Until what point? If they were here less than 30 days, they were considered visitors, just traveling through, and they cannot be considered as part of the year. They're not considered local residents. So if we deduct them from the, you know, general crowd of sinners, and that will leave us with less than 50% of the residents, then they're spared from being considered Ir Nidachas. Some take out the word Shenemar. Hachrim Oisa, Veskol HaShabah, Vesbehemtel Tichara. We destroy everything in the town. So anything found in town, irrespective of who the owner is, even a tzaddik owns it, it gets destroyed. Mikan Amr, we learn from here, Nichse Tzaddikim Shebaseicha, even possessions of tzaddikim are found in town, right? Or even they get destroyed. Shebachutz Lo Platin, but if they tzaddik, even if he's a local resident, but if he didn't get, you know, swept along, he didn't sin, so he himself is spirit, and his possessions, which happen to be out of town, are also spirit. Lashal Rishayim, but possessions that belong to the Rishayim, who actually sinned, anything that has their name on it gets brought in and is destroyed. Bein shebesoich, whether it happens to be in town at the time, bein shebechutzlo, if it happens to be out of town, re'elu oibden, you bring it in and destroy it. Shenemar es kol shlolo tikboitz el tovim choyva. So you take it into the town square. Now let's say it has no the town has no square. Im ein la rechayv, hoisin la rechayv, they build a square for this purpose. Hoisin rechayv chutzlo. Let's say the town square was right outside the city. It wasn't, you know, embedded in the city. Koins neis la seich. We have to make sure it's embedded. So, you know, we make another square or we build around it to make it part of the city. Shenema, the Pasuk says, V'sarafta ba'esh ha'seir, v'eskol shalala, kolil l'asham alakecha. So we learn from shalala, its booty, its loot, its possessions, shalala, only privately owned possessions, v'lo shalal shamayim, but not things which are spiritually owned. Heavenly products. We learn from here. Hegdesh sheba yipadu. If there's some hegdesh property in this town, you can't destroy it. You have to redeem it. And the item is now, you know, could be destroyed, but the money is sent to the Beis Hamikdash. Utruma is, you have truma, yorkvi, let it spoil. Maser sheni v'kisis v'akodesh, you have maser sheni, or holy scrolls. You're gone, so you're buried. You don't destroy it. Kolol Hashem alakecha. Lashon kolol is typically phrase attached to korbanos. The Torah treats this like a korban. Omer Shimon Omer Kadosh Hashem is saying, Im atem oisim din be'ir nidachas, if you apply the proper process to nidachas and you kill them and destroy the city, ma'alan li aleichem, I consider it upon you ki'ilu atem ma'alim oila kalu lefana, as if you burn oila. Has the same effect as a korban. Pasuk concludes, v'hoisa tel oilam. The city is meant to stay in a destroyed state for all time. It's not meant to be rebuilt. And what about turning it into an orchard? Is that considered? Dibrei, Rabbi Yitzhak Lili. He holds that you can't develop the town, leave it destroyed. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, you can't turn it into a place of residence. You can plant there. Like tibana oid means don't rebuild it. Don't restore it, the kamaisha haisa, to its former state. Anonymous. Aval nasasi ginus or pardesim. You can turn it into gardens, into orchards, no problem. Don't take anything from this city. Don't take any. Shekhoz man shersham bo'ilam, because as long as the wicked or their possessions are present, it generates Hashem's anger. Charonach bo'ilam of the rosham and oilam, once they get destroyed and wiped out, nistalik. Charoinaf in the oil that subdues Hashem's anger as well. Tanur Rabbanan. Pasuk says, Yatsu, right? These individuals came out and instigated the rest. Yatsu. We learn Hain, Ulo Shluchim. That's only if they did it personally. But let's say, the Madichim. did it through a shliach. They sent others to spread the, you know, the word in their name. It doesn't qualify. The pasuk says anoshim. Anoshim means two men. Ein anoshim pochas mebeis. No less than two. Davar acher, another pshat in anoshim v'lo anoshim, not women. Anoshim v'lo ketanim, as opposed to youngsters. B'nei Belial is how the Torah calls them. Bonim sheparku oilu shemayim tzavreim. They relieve themselves, so to speak, of the oil shamayim, of the commitment to heaven. Instead, they misled the crowd to do avodah zarah. Mikir becha, from amongst you, from within you. We learn from here, b'lemin asfar. If it's a border city near the goyim, at the end of Eretz Yisrael, you don't apply the process of yirah nedachas. Now, we learned back way back in Sanhedrin that there are two reasons for this. Either it's just a gzeres hakasa, we give no reason, or kontra pshimen, lest the surrounding, you know, goyim find us susceptible to attack once the you know, cities are destroyed, and they'll be more prone to attack, and therefore we don't do it. The pasuk says yeshve iram. The instigators had to have been locals from this very town. V'loy yeshve ir acher, as opposed if they're from a different town. The word lemar tells us that the process has to go through, you know, the standard procedure. Shetzrichin edim ba'asra l'kol echad ve'echad. The edim have to come lemar and relate the story to the bezdin. Look, we saw it happen. We warned them. Itmar. Here comes an interesting machlekes, which is a bit unrelated to the Rabbi Yechon Omar cholkin ir achas l'shnei shvatim. We speak about cities, and so at the time of Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, and they distributed the land. So they had, you know, the border lines going through, let's say it runs through a town, a city. Who does it belong to? We split into two. Half goes to Reuven, half goes to Shimon, right? Or whatever. So going to Rabbi Yechon, we split a city into two. Rish Lakish Amar, Ein Cholkin Irachas L'Bei Shvatim. No, we never split a city and give half to one Shevet and half to the other. What then? Well, if one Shevet had most of the city, then it all belongs to him. If it's 50-50, then it's a shaila. Some say you use a lottery system, but you never split one city and give, you know, half to this shevet and half to the other one. Esve, Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. Oh, that's how it comes to. That's how it belongs in our sugya, because he has a raya, a kashif, ma'al mishnah, which says the instigators had to have been locals, homegrown, right? Ad sheyu madichei moisir, they come from this town, moisir shevet, from this shevet. Now, if the city is always a single Shevet city, and once you say Ma'isa Ha'ir, they were homegrown, they were local city boys, obviously they're from the Shevet. Ma'isa Ha'ir, Ma'isa Shevet, my love. Oh, the fact that the Mishnah had to stipulate both conditions, apparently you could have one without the other. A fellow who grew up in this town, but he went and he influenced the people on the other side of town, from the other Shevet. Apparently you can split a city into two Shevatim. Avgad the Madichei Moiseir. So even if you have the Madichim from this town, Ika Moiseir Shevet, if they hail from this Shevet of their victims, in, yeah, then they qualify. Otherwise not. Clearly, Yishma Amino, clearly, Cholken Ir Achas, the Beis Shevatim, you can split one city into two Shevatim. Loi, no, says the Gemara. Initially the city was given to one Shevet. So how did this fellow, who's from a different Shevet, grew up in this, and has he owned this part of this? Lloyd Nafle Birusha. He got it through a Yerusha. His grandfather, his mother's father belongs to the Shevet, and he was Yerush of property from his grandfather. So he's a local resident, despite being from a different Shevet of the rest of the residents. Inami, another Pshat, he was given a gift. Diabu Neli Matana, somebody gave him as a gift. Aisve comes another Kash. Orem Tesha Meishne Ashvatma Ela. So we took nine cities from these two Shevatim, Shevet Yehuda and Shimon, way back, you know, when they entered Israel, gave nine of their cities to the Levim. Nine from two Shevatim. It sounds like four and a half, four and a half. My level assume Arba Palgamahai. Levim got four and a half from this Shevet. V'Arba Palgamahai, four and a half from the other Shevet. Shema Minochol Kinner Achaz L'Bei Shevatim. It sounds like one city was split between Yehuda and Shimon. Lo, you know, Arba Mahai, Arba Mahai, V'Chamesh Mahai. You never split a city. four from one shevet and five from the other shevet, a total of nine. Yachad l'frushi prushi. That's the case, and the pasuk would have said, should have said, well, you know, Yehuda gave five and Reuben gave five, and Yehuda and Shimon. Yehuda gave five and Shimon gave four. Instead of just saying, well, Yehuda and Shimon contributed nine cities in total, which sounds like it's split down the middle. Kasha, right? It's a kasha. We don't understand why the pasuk said it this way, but in any case, you can't use it as a refutation. And prove from here that in fact a city can be split amongst two Shabbat. Okay, do a brief recap. We discussed several discussions between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish in terms of how to learn Pesukim. Rabbi Yochanan was displeased by Rish Lakish's approach. He should have taken a more positive approach, earning more people Gan Eden, earning more people a part in the ultimate redemption. Discussion regarding the percentage of Jews who will actually experience Maaseh Mashiach, and we discussed the back and forth, the whole discussion. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, look at the Avos, I wish you would have followed their example and never questioned my policies. We have Erech HaPayim, which Hashem promised for the Rishayim as well, which eventually Moshe Rabbeinu cashed in and applied it to the Meraglim. We discussed the great people are zeicher to Elam Haba, to the Atara of Hashem, those who work, those who aspire, those who are humble. And we concluded with the Irani Dachas, which is the population of the city, who was pushed into Avodah Zarah by the Madichim, homegrown people, local people. And we learned about all the various criteria that are applied here that have to be in order for the city to actually be considered an Adachas. And we conclude with the Machlokes regarding splitting a city into two Shevat. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rav.